broadcasting live from the KHMB studios in downtown Half Moon Bay. This is Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast, the Coastside's own live call-in talk radio show. From Pescadero to Pacifica and beyond, this is the place for Coastside issues, hot topics, and you. And now, the host of Coastal Windage, Mr. Ruben Truthmaker, and his co-host, Crystalline.
Good morning. I'm used to, you know, the Rockin' Frankenstein from Edgar Winter Group getting me all jacked up, right, Crystalline? And Frank crossed us up there with a little Christmas music, which, okay, it's apropos. However, I need that jolt of electric guitar, you know. Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. All right. Anyways, how are you doing this morning, Crystalline?
I'm doing better now.
Okay. Yeah, well, of course, who isn't doing better now? It's Coastal Windage time. And this morning, we have the legendary Julie Mel with us. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning.
And when I say legendary, I think I'm underselling that a little bit because Julie has single-handedly returned the idea of movie going and the relevance of movies to the Coastside. And I so appreciate that as an older person that remembers movies being fun and a great thing to do. And so now we have our own film festival here in town that is a wonderful thing for everybody in this community. Okay, I'll just tamp it down, Ruben. Tamp it down. We've got a whole hour with Julie. Don't have to get it all out in 5 seconds here, okay? But I just I love what you do, Julie.
Well, thank you. Yeah. You certainly pump my ego plenty.
Well,
and,
I love
being here. So thank you for this opportunity.
Of course. Okay, we're here on Coastal Windage. We're here every Friday morning, 9 to 10, right here on KHMB, your local radio station. I tip of the hat to Jim Henderson for bringing local radio back to the Coastside. So with Jim, with Julie, and then we have Crystalline here, who's single-handedly bringing a smile and positivity back to the world. Thank you, Crystalline. And I'm not sure what I'm doing here, but thanks for letting me hang in. Okay, we got a lot, big show with Julie, so let's hop into our topics here. I got to grumble first because there was a special delivery to the El Granada post office last Friday that I want to talk about. Maybe this is, again, our policy on the show, Crystalline, is we try to do topics. If after 3 weeks of not getting to the topic, it's gone. So this is our third try to get some emails in because the emails are overflowing. The sacks are huge, and I just feel an obligation to listeners that write in to acknowledge that. I do acknowledge we do read or at least we have the interns read every email, but it'd be nice to read a few of them if we could get to that. And then, of course, we've got our Shooting the Breeze live interview with Julie Mel, founder of Beach Break Entertainment and the Beach Break Film Festival.
Woohoo! Okay.
Right, exactly. All right, let's get to the air quality report because it's interesting. This is not a good morning for air quality pretty much everywhere else. 0 to 50, good. 51 to 100, moderate. I have to mention over 100, really not good. And I rarely have to mention the over 100 category. But today in El Granada, 22. No, we're good in El Granada, folks. We're good.
Ew.
Yeah, clear that out, please. I think you need to get a TB test or something. That's sounding worse. Okay, now you're just hitting random sounds. Okay. That's Frank's like, stop with that. Okay, 24 today in Half Moon Bay, pretty good. 16 in Santa Cruz, that's the best yet. But 103 today in Redwood City. If you look in San Francisco, 153 in San Francisco. The whole northern and eastern part of the peninsula is bright red. Bright red. Something's going on over there. Not good. And today, even in North Pole, Alaska, where you would think like it's up there, 80 today in North Pole, Alaska. So, but once again, us down here on the Coastside, it's one of the joys of living here is we have amazing air quality. Okay. fans of the show know I love great blue herons, and it seems like it's great blue heron season. Every day when I'm driving around, there's at least one heron. And the thing I love, many things I love about them, but one is you'll walk around a corner and there's one just like kicking it in a yard, or like, or you'll be walking along talking on your phone or whatever, and you'll look and it's just like frozen right there, you know, and it's like 6 feet away, but it's like a statue. So I just love them. And then when they take off in flight, it's just, I'm always like anxious. Like, are you going to, it's like an overloaded plane. Like, are you going to get up? Like, are you going to make it over that telephone line? So I just am enjoying seeing the herons. Are you a heron person, Crystal?
I like seeing them. I don't know as much about them as you do, but I do think they're really beautiful, and, because I don't see them all the time, so then it's like very special when you see one. And when I lived in Monterey, there was a white heron that would hang out near not Moss Beach, but
Moss Landing.
Mm-hmm. And so it's like every time you were driving out of the peninsula to Moss Landing, then you would, you know, kind of see this white one that was beautiful. And it's just a very beautiful bird.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, so we've got, so heron season, keep your eyes out, folks, because I love seeing the birds. You see hawks on the telephone lines all the time. But it's definitely heron time. Keep your eye out because they're in they're real close to the road sometimes. You'd be surprised if you open your, this is one of those things, if you open your eyes and look for them, you'll be surprised at how many you see. They're around.
Well, that's like, but that's with anything, which I think is a really cool phenomenon that, you know, when something hits your purview, you know, and they say specifically when you get a car. So I recently got a new car, and now
Hold on. Yeah, you did. What kind of car did you get?
I got a Ford Bronco from our local James Ford. Thank you very much.
Not the sport mod. Not the regular ones.
You got the big one.
And the, like, off-road package, or, like, the...
Oh, yeah. So this particular one is called the Heritage Limited. Oh. It's baby blue.
Yes.
With a white top. So what it is it's an homage to the 70s. So the body styling brings back the 70s style of the Bronco, the classic Bronco. Although the inside is completely 2024, which is super cool. But, yeah, it's got the big tires, and it's to my Jeep family out there. Haha, mine's taller. And my dad's a Jeep guy. One of my best friends is a Jeep guy. And they were very, very sad when they parked next to me and mine was bigger. So I love it. But now I'm seeing Broncos everywhere of every style and color. And I'm sure they've been out there for a long time.
I think they have.
But now, all of a sudden, I saw three on my way in, and my drive is only 2.5 miles.
Well, your Bronco is beautiful.
Thank you.
Yes, I'm definitely envious. I have no interest in buying a new car. However, when I saw your car, I had an inkling of like, wow, I'm really envious. That's,
well, everybody cross
car.
Your fingers, because hopefully the DMV will approve it, but I submitted for the license plate Seahorsey.
Okay. Why would they not approve that?
I don't know. It just says on the thing that they might not, they have the right to refuse any plate.
Okay. They refused beach break.
What?
They said it was phallic. Yeah.
Well, okay, what? Julie, hold on. We got to dive into this.
I submitted twice.
How was that
with
phallic?
Like, beach breaker, beach break one, beach break, beach break heart or beach heart break.
Phallic?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I think they thought it was that word that's not beach when you reduce it to BCH.
Like beach, please.
Well, no. Yeah.
Okay.
I will say
beachy. Yeah. Breaker.
Oh, okay. I guess, but I mean,
the beach was like throw them off. And I even said, it's my company name.
Yes.
They didn't care. But I like Seahorsey.
I just thought for the Bronco.
And it sounds like it's kind of a beach break car, so...
It is. It's very... it's the beach break colors. It's also the ocean element real estate colors.
Oh, yeah. So. We all are in... Your car may be in demand. That's all I'm saying. We have official transportation.
Nice. Okay, yeah. So we got coming up tonight, we have Julie here and Kristalyn. We've got the movie Elf, which is one of my Mrs. Truthmaker's favorite movies. I don't love it as much as her. Will Ferrell for me is like a hit or miss. Some of his movies for me are just like, I love them. I could watch them a million times. Like The Other Guys with Mark Wahlberg. That one is just hilarious. The Land That Time Forgot or whatever that one is. That one is, they're like the old school, of course. But then there's some movies with Will Ferrell that I just cannot stand. This is not one of the ones I can't stand, but it doesn't do it for me. I think because of Will Ferrell, in the right role for me, it's great. But I know this movie is a classic and it's a beloved movie. And so what else would you show? I mean, I guess there's many other Christmas movies, but this is a great movie to show.
Thank you. Yeah, we put a lot of thought. So this will be the third annual showing of it.
Yes.
And we put a lot of thought into it because we wanted something that the kids could watch and was safe. And then...
no Die Hard.
Well, the Oddfellas did that, so kudos to them.
Yeah.
And then, but that the parents weren't just going to be like, oh my gosh, I've seen Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer 700 times, or that they would get bored. Like, right. We wanted it to be something that we felt a tradition could be built around. So, yeah.
Third year, we're so excited to come back for that.
Yeah.
And it's awesome. Well attended, so I hate to say it, but I think you kind of stand alone in that.
No, I accept that. I think that Elf is a modern Christmas classic, like Miracle on 34th Street or whatever. Like, okay, if our grandparents are like, oh, Miracle, I remember I saw that. It's the greatest Christmas movie ever. Like, okay, I don't think I've been able to sit through more than 10 minutes of it, but I get you. But I think Elf is our modern Christmas
version.
Classic.
Yeah. And then there's also a lot of fun things that go along with it. So we also do spaghetti, and then the... which is kind of the one and only meal that they really do in the movie. But then Buddy the Elf has his very particular way of eating spaghetti, because for him, sugar is a food group. And we have that option at the showing. So it's really fun, because last year was our first year doing the Buddy the Elf spaghetti. And I just assumed the kids would be the ones that want to try it and all of that. And the number of 30 to 40 year old ladies that were diehard to try the Buddy the Elf spaghetti was awesome. I was like, this is what this is about. And so that was so fun. So we will have that too, for anybody who wants to try spaghetti covered in every sugar candy known to man.
Well, are we allowed to share that there were some pretty amazing gift certificates given to people who participated?
Yes.
I mean,
will
it
that
was
happen
amazing.
Again this year too?
Yeah, so the movie is sponsored primarily by Jupiter in Maine, so they have some things that they give out. And then what we try to do at the chamber is give out gift certificates that are good at any of the local shops. So it'll have a value to it, and then they let us know which local shop they would like their gift certificate to. So then that way we're not always asking the shops to donate,
nice.
Which, you know, most chambers are used to doing. And that we're buying them from the shops, and then hopefully then also not giving out gift certificates that never get used, because, you know, if you get one to a spot that's not a spot you would normally go to, then it'll just sit there, and we want that money to get circulated.
I mean,
I
have two people sitting here that I just really appreciate your vision for what could develop here on the coast side, which is this kind of idea of the merchants getting together, and it's kind of a unified thing of like a generic gift certificate that could be used at numerous shops. With a group of merchants has to get together and buy into that. And I'm looking at you, Kristalyn, about that. And I'm looking at Julie, because the film festival to me is an opportunity that you are working on and developing to bring these merchants together in like, in like package deals. Come to the film festival, stay at this hotel, you know, get a package that's a hotel, a dinner out, maybe something else, some tickets to the festival. These kinds of package situations that bring in the entire Coastside community and the merchants here in a collective working together for the whole ball of wax, if I could be technical about it, you know. And so the two of you together, I think, is a wonderful statement on that, of like what this is what's needed, this kind of collaborative effort. And your work with the chamber and your work with the film festival, I think, are moving us more in that direction. I think it just the merchants need it, just a little you two, like, you know,
we appreciate all of our support system here. And, you know, we started during COVID. I know we're talking later, but started Beach Break during COVID. So to really bring the community together, like, I was so distraught being at home locked down all the time. And that's how we started Beach Break. And then invited nonprofits to help us along the way to support them. And then we had to ask for help from merchants, but in exchange, I guess, in partnership, you know, we promoted them and we did things to get people. Well, we try always to get people to exactly come in, spend money on Main Street, enjoy Main Street. Like, we are a small town with a Main Street, and that, you know, no offense to big corporate, but, you know, we need survival on Main Street, and we need to be bonded together as community. And we are all about community and mission driven. And I love Chris Lynn. I've learned so much from Chris Lynn. Like, I took her little thing that she does for ELF with the chamber, and, you know, then took it to other events that we did this past year. So thank you, Crystal.
Well, you're both making this community so much more fun.
Yeah.
Well, I just try to create events, and I think you're probably the same. Well, let's just acknowledge I'm in sweats today. I didn't even.
I know, but
I'm having fun as pink. I wore pink. Very tired day, and I'm going to acknowledge it. But thank you. Oh, no, I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, yeah. So people always kind of ask, like, well, how do you come up with the things that you want to do, or the events or the programs? And I'm like, because it's the stuff that I would want. Like, I would go to a showing of ELF, or last week with the ugly sweater party. That would be something that I would want to do. And so if there's something that I want to do and I don't see it out there, and I think that it's something that other people would like, but that is a economic benefit in, you know, like creating an event for somewhere on the Coastside and all of that, then I do it.
Well, I think knowing you as I have, you're the perfect person for that, because you're just a fun person, and I bet, like, there's a lot of things in your life that you're like, I think that's fun, let's do that. And there are things that most people would agree, like, yeah, those are fun. Crystalyn's fun to hang out with. And if she's driving the show, it's going to be a fun show. So ELF is going to be great. Here's another great thing. It's free.
Yeah.
It's free.
To see the movie is free. And then it's just $10 if you want the spaghetti dinner.
You got to do it. $10. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
It's six.
I bought an extra. So just saying, I have one for my projectionist, and I have one for me, and I have one extra to give away. So
Julie will be there tonight signing autographs. So if you want to get an autograph from Julie, get in on that quickly, because, you know, when she blows up in the next couple of years here, you may not be able to get through all the hordes to get to her. So, okay, 6 o'clock tonight. Okay, now tomorrow night, this is interesting. Tomorrow night is tomorrow night's, All I Need for Christmas, is that a Beach Break?
Okay,
event?
Yeah, that is so fun. That's Beach Break Entertainment.
Yeah. Yes.
Local author Heidi Kling took a workshop, wrote a screenplay, and then got it fixed up or edited and worked on and enhanced and submitted, and Hallmark bought it. And they produced it. And it right now it's the number one Hallmark movie. And we're going to stream it at Barterra Winery tomorrow night.
Two showings.
Because it's a small space, but Barterra's been a supporter of ours since day one. And they sponsor our film festival, and we thought this is a great way to give back. We'll go, we'll use their tasting room, and they're going to be selling wine and their tapas. I think they have empanadas. I should know that for sure. But and so people can come before dinner, have popcorn, have wine, have champagne, toast. Heidi, she'll be there for both screenings, and then she'll talk about. The process and, you know, the fun and the production and seeing her name and on this big screen. It's really cool.
I went and looked. She has an IMDb page now. I mean, that's just like,
oh,
wow.
Good.
Okay. Quote, struggling singer-songwriter Maggie is worried she's unable to compete with such a tech-savvy world. Upon returning home to help her parents on their farm, she meets Hunky Archer. An entrepreneur has come back to town to spend the holidays alone, or so he thought. A night of romance, holiday cheer, and celebration of local writer Heidi Kling's recent film. Okay, special note on this one, connection to Coastal Windage. Heidi is yet another beneficiary of the Coastal Windage Reverse Sports Illustrated Curse, a.k.a. the Coastal Windage Updraft. Heidi, a.k.a. Sandy Brightside, was a co-host on this show in 2002 for a period of time until her writing and other activities stole her away from us. And she joins luminaries such as Sam Liccardo, Zoe Chait, Julie Mell, Pete Cerneka, Claire Reitman Grout, and Lindsay Stewart, who are co-founders of Coastside Leadership Academy, Justin Ferdinand, and Libby Streetwise, as people who have enjoyed major career success immediately after being on this show. So, I mean, I'm just saying, you're welcome, Heidi. No, Heidi, congratulations. That's amazing.
Yeah.
And it's a whole new career, and how exciting is that?
Yeah, you know? It's great. I think it's 315 Main Street at Barterra. You can get tickets. You have to register for the free tickets. It's a suggested donation at the door. And but please register so we know, because we're planning on seating in the back. And so beachbreakentertainment.com.
One thing I like about these small showings, I know a lot of yours are outside, Julie, and sounds like this one is inside.
It is inside.
When I was a kid growing up, my dad and I went to movies all the time, which is why and this was a time when, like, literally in San Diego County, my dad would get the paper, and there would be one whole page of the paper that was all the movie theaters in San Diego County, and they all were playing, like, because they were owned by different companies, every movie theater had different movies. Mm-hmm. Unlike today, where there's only four movies playing, and they're all at the same theaters. And he would look at the paper and go, we should go to a movie today. And I'd be like, okay, yeah. And he's like, you know, we'd go all over the county depending on what movie was playing at what time. And there was this one little theater called the Unicorn Theater. It was in a book. It was in a bookstore in La Jolla. You go into this bookstore, go through the bookstore, and in the back was like a 20-seat little theater. And they would show, like, old movies like Hitchcock and stuff. And it was just, it was so, the only thing I didn't like about that theater was because it was in La Jolla and it was in a bookstore. You know, they didn't have sweet tarts and stuff like that. They had, like, Toblerone and, like, pastilles in, like, a tin, you know, like. It's like, no, where's the sweet tarts? Okay.
You want sweet tarts? Are you coming on Saturday?
Or to the film festival? Of course I'm coming to the film festival.
Okay.
I mean,
sweet tarts, I heard the order. I heard the request. So we aim to please.
Okay. All right. Now, if I could just ramp that up to the next level, in the old days, sweet tarts would come in this foil, envelope type thing. Not in a box, not in the roll that you have now, but like a foil thing, and you'd tear the top off like an envelope.
Oh, yeah.
And you'd pour them out, and they're the little pills, the little, you know, not the square. They're like cylinders now. They're like little pills with rounded edges. Oh, okay. Whew, I'm losing it here on my sweet tarts. Yes. What?
We're all about traditional candy. Red Vines, Junior Mints.
Nice.
Yeah.
Raisinets.
I haven't found
I don't know why I said that. It's because when you go to the old days, you go to the theater, you're like, okay, M&M's, Sweet Tarts. Yeah. Raisinettes. Who
they're
buys
healthy.
Raisinettes?
They're healthy.
I'm the Raisinette girl.
Oh. Are you?
Okay,
Raisinettes?
I heard that
yes.
Too.
And my favorite cookie is oatmeal raisin cookie.
Make a note
yes,
of that.
Yes. Whenever people are like, you know, junking on the raisins, I'm all about it.
Here's the thing about raisins. I love raisins separately. But in something, no. Gross. Because you're biting, you're eating a cookie, chomp, 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 hard, crusty.
No, oatmeal raisin cookies.
Ew, chewy.
Are the
is there
best.
Like a fly in my cookie here? What was that?
No, oatmeal raisin cookies are the best cookie on the planet.
I'm with you on the oatmeal part. Okay. also coming up, Frank's already giving me the 5 minutes somehow. I don't know how that has happened, but we got the Harlem Wizards coming up on Sunday, January 12th in the Lions Den, also known as the Event Center. Similar to the Globetrotters, super fun. This is in addition to the Beach Break Film Festival. Harlem Wizards tickets are a great holiday gift. Let me just back up and plug the film festival as a gift opportunity. I had the interns pouring over the Beach Break Film Festival website this week. There are many access points for getting tickets and packages that you've provided. Again, like brilliant ideas there where people can kind of a la carte how they want to do this. But there's multiple packages there, including a full film festival package that's, you know, really at a price point that makes sense. And I think that would be an awesome holiday gift, especially if you have a movie person in your family. If you haven't been, I know we're going to get into the back end of the show and we'll ask you a bunch of questions about this. I'm just kind of waxing right now on my great experience at the film festival. It's just so satisfying. Fun, yes, satisfying, because it's in your hometown, and I've loved like going and having dinner and then driving down to the end of Main Street. You know, it's not like you have to drive over the hill. You're not getting on a freeway. You're literally driving down to Main Street and then going into the Coastal Repertory Theater, which is a great place to see any kind of show. And Julie in the side room has got vendors with food and swag, and people are milling around and having a glass of wine. And it's that fun, relaxing, like it brings the fun back to going to a movie. I don't like going to movies nowadays where, like, first of all, you buy the tickets online, you know, and then you're going there and you're going up escalators and there's 20,000 screens and then half of them are playing the same movie. And it's not enjoyable to me. And having something in our own hometown with incredible movies that you can't see, you can't just go to, like, Cinemark. You can't go to Cinemax either.
Oh, your teenage years on the
off. Hey now. You can't go to, you know, a Cinemark theater and see these movies, and you especially can't hear from the filmmakers, and you don't have Julie there. So okay, so all of those things. Anyways, the Wizards, January 12th. It's a fundraiser for Boys and Girls Club of the Coastside, as well as the PTOs for the elementary school. So, super important. What do we got, Frank? 1 minute? Do I have 1 minute? Yeah, all right. I got a big diatribe about the person crashing into the El Granada post office. I'm going to skip that because it's not a diatribe that can be done quickly. Let's just see if there's any. I'll just take it from the top here, a couple of emails. This one's from Slop and Slurry. Okay, hot takes, ? So we tried to do a hot takes. Apparently you need more time to do hot takes, so it didn't work out. But this person's apparently very upset about it. You call that a hot take segment? I've heard better hot takes in the SFO bathroom. Here's a hot take. Hire some writers. Okay. I mean, a hot take, we don't need writers. It writes itself, right?
Here's a hot take. Call in and let us know your opinion so that we can bounce off your hot take.
Thank you. Yeah.
650-560-9851.
Oh, nice. Because you're going to want to talk to Julie and ask her questions too. It's hot takes. I mean, anything can happen with hot takes. All right. One more. Surf Junkie, Zoe for Mayor. All right. I like the sound of this. You should get Zoe Chait to come on your little radio program. I don't know why they needed to say that. Your little radio program. Okay, you should get Zoe Chait to come on your little radio program. She'd probably break the phone lines with all the people who'd be calling in to talk to her. I'd love to hear her talk about the rescue in Lindemar. Totally down with that, Surf Junkie. We had her on January 7th, 2022 for one of her first live media interviews of her career, almost 3 years ago now. And again, we're not saying that we made her a star, but, you know, yeah. All right. We're going to go to a commercial break. We'll be right back, and it's all Julie.
This is Community Radio for the Coast Side.
100.9 KHMB.
Generous support for Coastal Windage comes from Cameron's Restaurant, Pub & Inn, and now RV Park. Cameron's is the only true British pub on the Coast Side, featuring 19 beers on tap and more than 60 brands of bottles. Come for the food and stay for the fun. Happy hour specials Monday through Friday, open mic night on Thursday, and karaoke on Friday and Saturday. Cameron's Restaurant, Pub & Inn in Half Moon Bay.
This is Jay Michaels. Join me this morning at 10 o'clock right after Coastal Windage. I'll be along with Stan Warren Luttrell getting a check of your weather. Also, we'll take a look at today in history. And don't forget our forgotten find. All comes your way right after Coastal Windage on your Friday morning from 100.9 FM KHMB.
Listeners, just in case you ever come on the show, don't cross Frank the Engineer. Okay, he doesn't like it if you don't hit your cues. Okay, all right. So here's a cue. Call in if you want to ask Julie Mel a question about the film festival or film, 650-560-9851. All right, let's get right into it, Julie.
This is the third annual Beach Break Film Festival.
Before we get into the details of this year's film festival, what third annual? What's your vision for the future of this film festival? Because I imagine as a film festival person, and you are, you've been going to film festivals your whole adult life and you love them. What are you growing this to, you know, just ad infinitum, or this is good enough and I'm, you know, we're just going to try to keep doing it every year? Or do you have a bigger vision for it?
Okay, so if we can turn back the clock to 2020, August 13th, when we threw the very first Beach Break Entertainment drive-in, as we were setting up, I had Michelle Dragony and the CERT team. Michelle helped me organize a whole bunch of CERT members to help park the cars. And we were in the middle of chaos. Nobody had ever... I mean, Michelle and the group, Rusty, all those great volunteers from the CERT team had parked cars before, but nothing in like the manner we needed them in. It was chaos. And Beth Lemke of A Grape in the Fog, owner of A Grape in the Fog, came up to me. I had heard from her, but never really met her. And she's like, oh, my God, this is amazing. You have to do this in Pacifica. And I was like, oh, my gosh, we'd love to. I actually had tried originally to get a spot. I had tried at Seabowl, and they had said no. But then after the success of the one at the Johnston House, we reached out to the owner of Seabowl and said, we would like to do this. We just had a successful thing. It's really good for the community. And so we leased his parking lot and took our drive-in to Pacifica. Point being that we at that moment realized that the Coast Side is the entire Coast Side. We wanted to be inclusive. So it's La Honda. It's down to Santa Cruz, all the way through Pacifica. And so, since you asked, my goal is to expand to the film festival to Pacifica. We're still showing drive-ins there thanks to Kimco Realty at the Lindemar Shopping Center, the backside. We project on the big wall there. Yep. But we don't do drive-ins anymore. We did sit-ins this year. And we would like to expand and do something at... Seadrift, I believe it's called. The now I might have it wrong, but the theater in Pacifica, so that we can do multiple theaters for both the whole coast.
So having the film festival going on, but then two
simultaneously.
Venues.
Simultaneously. Yeah, and include those businesses from Pacifica as well. That's kind of dreamy to me. And, but, you know, we're making our way there slowly. Okay. Right now, we're still completely at the Coastal Repertory Theater. Thank you very much. They fiscally sponsor us and host us. But we would like to go up the coast a bit. So we will expand slowly, whether it's in a hotel on the way there next year or it's there next year also. That would be my dream.
Oh, well, just to toss this out, random idea, and it just popped in my head, so apologies.
Oh, I like those.
Right. Have you ever, would it be, like, let's just say, because, you know, there's some highfalutin houses around here, and some of them probably have home theaters in them.
Oh, yeah.
If somebody wanted to do a special showing of a special film as a part of the, like, a VIP thing, and let's say they've got a 10-seat little home theater, would you be into that? Because that was something that they kind of did at the Carmel Film Festival.
We would love that. We would like people to reach out to us. They're not cheap to do, sure, because they're fundraisers, yeah, for the main. Or I shouldn't say they're not cheap. They cost a bit. We would love to do that. In fact, because you said that, we have this amazing Portuguese woman coming into town for the film festival this year. She made a short film. It's absolutely gorgeous, about the Calcutta artisans in Portugal that, like, do not mosaics, but not just like a little wall, but like entire community squares. And she's a singer, first and foremost. She's actually a professor, first and foremost, PhD. But she's coming in, and we wanted to do like a special screening of her film and or just have her perform. And unfortunately, we haven't had any luck finding a venue to do that. But she is going to perform before the screening of her short film.
So, oh, that's okay. Leveraging
but
your
idea. I love that. Thank you.
Yeah.
Leveraging your idea. I propose the Playboy Mansion house at the top of El Granada. I bet that has a home theater in it. And that would be, it's changed owners now, so it's quite a spectacle in itself.
Our sweet little town has a Playboy Mansion.
Oh, you don't know about that, the, like, huge mansion up at the top of Quarry Park?
Yeah, no. Was that the, I have seen
yeah,
that.
No, that it's like a huge, I can almost guarantee you it has a home theater in it.
Yeah.
And that would be an amazing venue for this type of thing, like kind of maybe a VIP situation or something, because it would require special access, the view up there. The building itself is, yes, this relic from the 70s, the decadence of the 70s. And so it's, the house is pretty legendary in its own right. And so that would be like, it's basically the McCloskey Mansion of El Granada, if you know what the McCloskey Castle is in Pacifica. And so it would be a great venue for that exact type of idea.
May I just say something? A couple of the films that we're showing are so important, especially for our area, which is both farming and rural, and small coastal town, that we would love. Our opening night film that was brought to us by Eric Vettel at the American Energy Society, these are important films that we want people to see, that we want people to talk about, that we want people to take action. You know, we need to protect our coastside and our community and people in general. I mean, there's some important films. And these are exactly the types of screenings that I envision happening. So thank you for that. And if anybody's out there that wants to do private screenings, we would love to talk to you. We would love to hear from you. And we would bring our filmmakers to you.
The interns must have shared my questions with you, because one of the questions I wanted to ask you is, okay, so we've got a local film festival. These are, you're your slogans for the film festival are spark thought, talk, and action, inspiring films that will get you thinking, talking, and taking action. And so what I wanted to ask you is, with these incredible films that you brought, are there some, and you've kind of led into this, are there a couple, or are there some that you want to call out that are really important for coastsiders to see, that have true relevance to our lives here on the coast? And you had mentioned the Grab, that your opening night movie about water rights.
Yeah, pretty much all of them.
I mean, we've got...
Well, there are, I would say...
Plastic people, I think,
yeah,
with Sea Hugger and, you know, the us living here by the ocean and the where do all the microplastics go? Well, they eventually get to the ocean. So that would be another one that would seem to be really relevant.
Right. We're showing a film, two shorts. One that I found at the Hollywood Climate Summit when I attended in June. The Redford Center sent me there. It was amazing. It was like 5 solid days of 10 a.m. till 10 p.m. From 10 to 3, we watched films that hadn't yet been distributed. And I picked up one that day, called Planet Walker. At the time it was called The Symphony of Tiny Lights, which I loved, but, it's now Planet Walker, about John Francis, who, took a code of silence for like 13 or 16 years and, decided to never step foot in another motor-driven vehicle or oil, you know, oil.
This was after he witnessed the 1971 oil spill in San Francisco Bay.
The Bodega Bay. And Bodega Bay. It was amazing. And his point was about listening, which I think is super important. And I think in general, people have forgotten the art of listening. Everybody's talking. Everybody's always... They listen to, like, shorts on the Instagram, but they need to listen to each other, and they need to be more compassionate. And then that's followed by Walk With Me, which is made by our fabulous local filmmakers and artists, David and Heejin Hodge. And that is about the same kind of idea of, why are we so dependent on cars? I posted this on Nextdoor, this film, and encourage everybody to come. We have so many experts in the field, from mental health to transportation specialists to Perkins and Wills, who have worked with our city before, to design more of like a community-driven city centers type of landscape and architecture. It's pretty amazing. The people that are coming, I'm so honored. And just the work that everybody, all the filmmakers and otherwise, are doing to bring people to us to talk about the subjects in the film.
Yeah, beachbreakfilmfestival.org, I believe, is the website.
BBFFHMB.org.
Oh, my God. See, that's where I like...
That's okay.
Yeah. You just have to type Beach Break Film Festival into your web browser. But there's a page on there where you show all the people that are going to be coming.
Some of the people. But yeah,
some of them. And I had to scroll. Like, there's a lot. And I was just like, oh, my goodness. A page of luminaries. So that's another fun thing about the film festivals. You go there before the movie in the like, lobby lounge area. These people are like walking around, and you have a chance to talk to actual filmmakers. Like, I'm sorry, like, I haven't had a chance to talk to Steven Spielberg before, because I've never been at a movie theater where he was like hanging out there, you know. So you get that opportunity here.
He may drop by.
Okay.
He and Francis Ford Coppola.
Okay.
You know, we're in chat.
Excellent. Dino De Laurentiis, is he going to come by as well?
Not this year.
No, not this year. Okay.
But what I would like to say is that our film... So I used to live in San Francisco. I left my heart in San Francisco, unfortunately. But I love being here, of course. But I still have this affinity for the city. And we've acquired a couple films about the city, but... amazingly enough, one of them is not only a local filmmaker, but he's a second-time returnee filmmaker, Brenton Geezer from El Granada. Some of you might remember he was our opening director. He was the director of the opening film last year called The 50, about social justice.
We've got a phone call. All right, we've got Julie Mel here with Crystalline and Ruben. Who we got on the phone this morning?
This is Rusty from Montero.
Rusty! You got called out this morning. You were mentioned.
Yeah, I heard that. Thanks. And that was an interesting evening trying to park the women of Half Moon Bay in a field where they wanted to park wherever they wanted with trucks that I could barely see the hood on. So fun time. We learned a lot. Just want to call in. Thanks, Ruben, for everything. Crystalline for enhancing Ruben. Julie, we're loving it, and you're killing it. So everyone, have a great weekend.
Thanks, Rusty. That was funny. You know, Rusty was one of those helpers that came, and like midway I realized that what we were doing to park the cars was like so not working. And I was like, we need to change this and tighten them up. And he was such a troop. All of them were. They were amazing. It was an amazing night. But as is the upcoming festival.
Three nights. Three amazing. Rusty, thank you so much for the call. Rusty is one of these
one last thing. Yeah. The Costco chocolate covered raisins are fantastic. Really good chocolate.
Thank you, Rusty.
Thanks for keeping Ruben honest. Take care all. Have a good weekend.
Thank you.
Bye, Rusty.
Bye.
Yes, I believe that somebody gave you that riding crop there for that exact reason.
I just am feeling funny now. I ran a film festival a drive-in that brought cars together. Well, now we're sort of changing our tune. So, You live and learn. And at the time, it was the right thing
to
do. Well, but everything evolves. Let's acknowledge everything evolves. Yeah. So this mentality that one day something's fine and the next day there's a problem with it and we all must just magically drop it is not possible, and we're always going to have to evolve. We evolve into things. We have to evolve out of things. So please don't feel bad about having drive-ins. At the time that you were doing them, they were wonderful. They were needed. They fit the time. If you want to change now to fully sit-ins, that's awesome and great. If you want to do another drive-in, cars freaking exist. They're here. We drive them all day, every day. Even those who ride, there's only one person on this coast side that I know who doesn't have a car and rides their bike everywhere, Michelle Dragony, Coastal Butterfly. But like beyond that, if anybody's going to, you know, junk on you for having a drive-in, quite honestly, stop.
Exactly. And because the drive-in August 2020 was necessary because we were in the COVID shutdown. You couldn't go to a theater anyways. So to pull this together and find a way to bring people together, also being old, there is something about going to a drive-in that used to be fun. Maybe the twist on it in the future would be like, okay, electric cars only or something like that, where you like
just allow for accessibility. So maybe it's a drive-in and you can come in your car and maybe your car is electric, but then you have a little special space for bikes and have a little special space for those who have walked and have brought their own chairs or whatever the case may be. We can evolve them, but we don't. I'm a little bit tired of this mentality where when something's not the way somebody wants it, they just crap all over it.
Why are you looking at me when you say
all
that?
All right, let's get back to the film festival.
I want to say on those two movies that you talked about, yes, Michelle
Walker
and Ranger Keelak, who we had on the show, two people that understand the idea of you're not tied to the vehicle and the idea that different things happen when you are walking and listening and observing and being present in the situation. I also want to come back to the movies that you're hard in San Francisco and you bring movies to this film festival that are very, that just really get to a part of San Francisco that maybe people, especially if you don't live here or you haven't lived in San Francisco that you might miss out. This year's San Francisco film is about Carol Doda, the topless and bottomless pioneer dancer.
Yeah.
And anybody who's lived in San Francisco knows that corner. The Condor and Big Al's at Broadway and I forget Columbus maybe. That is like north, that is just quintessential North Beach. And I didn't know this person, Carol Doda, or her story.
Right.
And so I started looking at your list of films. And this is what I love about your film slate, is you start reading about one, and the next thing you know, it's like 3 hours later, and you've read about every one of these films. You've gone to Wikipedia to look up these people. Okay. You've watched the trailers, because they're irresistible. So I want to ask, how do you select these movies? How do you nail it with these movies every year now?
Well, with a selection committee, I have a good group of
people. But you have a huge pile of movies to go through?
We go to a lot of film festivals. If something sounds interesting to me, I go and watch it. If I like it because it's a well-told story, it's well-edited, the production elements are good, and then the story is compelling, I consider it, and then we show it. Either I take the committee with me or we get the screener and we have a watch party. And then we talk about it. You know, the opening night, The Grab, is it was just that important that I didn't use the screening committee necessarily. I invited the board and said, this was brought to us. I think it's important. You know, let's watch it and talk about it. And we had in-depth discussions. It was amazing. I have an amazing advisory board, and it was actually really fun. And now Gabriella Calperthwaite is coming. She's the filmmaker of Blackfish. She'll be at the film festival, as will Nathan Halverson, the investigative reporter who uncovered what's going on. And it's a little terrifying. In fact, I wrote Gabriella and I said, like, how do you sleep at night? Because I've literally, my good friend Val, who's also Val Dubois, who's also going to be a moderator for Plastic People, she's a activist and climate-based fellow, and she's an amazing friend and advisor to me. And she said to me, after this festival, you need to stop watching documentaries for a little while. Because I have become, I don't know if it's a paranoid or whatever, but it's made me think. And there's a lot to these films. And a lot, what I like about them is we can bring the community together and we can collectively take action. We can collectively, slowly, one person at a time, you know, make changes and be the change and voice our opinions and help where help is needed to alter our way of living, Plastic People especially. You know, like, I'm bouncing around. There's so many great films. The Chris Burdish film, Last Known Coordinates, he's coming into town. He'll be staying in town all weekend. You know, he paddled across the Atlantic Ocean in a single paddle. And it's like his iPhone or whatever apparatus he used to shoot a lot of it was like propped and taped to, you know, the bow of the vessel, which is a little paddleboard. It's amazing. He's amazing. I mean, and he'll be here to talk about his adventure. We have, for back to Carol Doda, we have the filmmakers Marlo McKenzie and Jonathan Parker coming, as well as and for those of you who love books, Wednesday Martin is a 5-time published author. She's a PhD anthropologist, and she's a subject speaker, like expert speaker in the film, about Carol Doda and women's bodies, which is really important. But the film is just so fabulous because it really gets into like San Francisco history.
Right.
And it's like this amazing throwback, and you come to an understanding of how and why things happen in the city the way they are. Maybe not right now, but back in the day.
And you see these threads that link these things together, because in then getting caught up in I read about the movie, and then I started to read about Carol Doda, and the
It's fun. It's
the,
so
the
well
reason
made.
Why she, it just seems like an incredible life, an incredible person, and the threads that she weaves through the history of San Francisco and the times, yeah. 60s, 70s, and 80s in San Francisco, really like adds depth to my understanding. I mean, I felt like I know a lot about, I lived there, I know a lot about the city, but here's something new, and the threads are intertwining that, like, oh,
yeah.
I love watching a movie and going, oh.
These are a lot of oh moments, these
so
films.
You've got the Carol, and your movies.
Can I go back?
Yeah.
I want to hit on, I'm so excited about our lineup. I'm sorry.
Of course.
Count It Out is a film about education and math. And the disparity in the education system. And we have Vicky Abelli's coming along with Khan Academy and one of the subjects from the film who, you know, doubted herself in math and her story. We have, oh, and Lisa Petrades.
I'm one of these people that like math. Just saying the word gives me anxiety. So when I go to see this movie, am I going to feel better about my own troubles with math, or is it going to give me greater anxiety of like, oh, like it's a real thing.
You'll feel better.
I'll feel better.
Yeah, okay. You'll feel better and you'll understand the problem and the discrepancies and disparities within the education system. We've actually gotten a lovely sponsorship from the Friends of the Half Moon Bay Library. So thank you to the Friends. It was for us to open up seating for any educators to come and watch this film. And we've put out notes to all the principals at all the schools from La Honda to Farallon View, including the high school, to say, please get your educators here. Come watch this film. So there is a code. There's also a special discount code for those of you watching. I think I sent it to you. But we have a discount code for those of you who are listening and watching. Do you have that? Because now I've forgotten it.
I've got the schedule.
Well, I think it's CW_Beach Break. And it's for 10% off your tickets. And we would love for you to get tickets today. You can use it any time leading up to or during the festival. We want to know that you heard us here live on Coastal Windage.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and I'm going to get that for sure, and we can post it on, where can we post it? Any thoughts if I have it wrong?
Crystalline's our posting expert. I don't, Julie. Look who you're talking to here. I mean, seriously.
Those interns of yours.
Frank's giving me the fingers now, telling me that we're running out of time. Okay, he's giving me the fingers.
One finger in particular.
I know, and I feel like he just likes to do that. One thing I love about your selection of movies for the film festival, and you've done it again this year, Julie, is you've got movies that are complementary to each other. And they're not like, the whole film festival is not one themed, but they're complementary movies. So for example, you've got The Grab and Plastic People, which that to me, there's a connection there. You've got the Carol Doda movie, but then you've got the Cyndi Lauper movie too. And I feel like these movies are complementary movies. And that kind of, Water's Edge and Last Known Coordinates. That to me is another level of sophistication and enjoyment that this film festival brings, of like you're seeing an eclectic variety of movies, and yet there are threads that weave them together. And then you've got the before and after discussions. Can you just in like a minute, okay, I know, Frank. he's making me anxious with the like with the throwing of the fingers and the hands.
It's authoritative.
Do you find that that people are really into the before and after discussions?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's what makes a film festival.
Yes.
That's the beauty of a film festival, is that you can watch the film, you can think about the film, and then you get to hear the makers of the film or the subjects from the film or experts in the field about the film talk about it and offer hope and offer encouragement for what's to come, what's like what you can do to be the change. So I think that's the beauty of a film festival. That's what I've always found. We show little shorts before. We're showing a first student film beforehand, before our Let the Canary Sing, which is all about Cyndi Lauper. And anyway, I could talk for hours. Frank, I hate that you're cutting us out. I do want to say the code for those of you listening is CW_beachbreak. All uppercase, CW_beachbreak. That's just for listeners. We thank you for listening. This was so much fun. I want to talk more, so call me and let's talk film or check out the website. Let's just see you at the film festival.
Yeah, that would be the best thing. Go to the film festival, see Julie there, talk to the filmmakers directly, and hear them talk in the after.
Thank you.
After movie session.
BBFFHMB.org.
I hear you, Frank, but this is one of the greatest things that happens on the Coastside, the Beach Break Film Festival. Thank you, Julie. Thank you, Chris Lynn. Thank you, Frank.
Happy holidays.
Thanks for calling in, Rusty.
Happy holidays.
Have a great holidays. Chris Lynn and I will see you on the flip side. Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast.